This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is continuing coverage of the case against Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Well, of course, we have the guilty verdict and we have another trial coming up and we'll get to that. I'm Lori Vallow Daybell out. I was hoping for a little more excitement in this trial. I was hoping for a little more crazy. We got quite a toned down version of Lori. We got Lori light and without any pretty much religion free other than just her discussing Nephi and the interpretations of it. Not anything magical. Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. It's wrapped up, but that one, how do you think it all went?
It way faster than they thought it was going to.
Yeah.
I think they had it penciled in for 5 weeks and mm-hmm. I think they finished it in a week.
Yeah.
I thought that Lori, like you said, I mean, she really toned it down. She didn't look like a buffoon mm-hmm. playing attorney, you know. I mean, she learned the legal jargon and she, you know, she was competent, you know, and mm-hmm. ultimately, you know, my biggest takeaway is that Lori Vallow Daybell just doesn't make good green chili chicken enchiladas.
Yeah.
That was really kind of my big out of the whole thing. Cause I mean, you're sitting there watching it, and we all know what a monster she is. Mm-hmm. We know she's convicted in Idaho. The jury in theory doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking at it from a strictly objective perspective under the guise that the jury doesn't know what a piece of shit she is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at it, okay, is the state proving the conspiracy case? And I'm like, leading, and that was one of the cases where I was saying, look, I'd say in 90% of trials, if not higher, the jury has made its decision long before closing arguments. The closing arguments aren't the thing that sways people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's your last ditch effort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you can give that whatever weight that you want to give it because it's just argument. I think that most people have their minds made up at the time. And I kept saying it during our lives. I'm like, this thing is sitting in not guilty world unless...
Mm-hmm.
Unless the state can really hit a home run and tie all these pieces together in its closing argument, really kind of pointing out why all these little circumstantial pieces lead only to one place and that she knew what was going on. She played a part into it. And they did.
Yeah.
The prosecution, for as critical as I was of the prosecutor during the trial itself, I thought she did a phenomenal job in closing and she got the job done. I mean, she laid it out. She laid it out exactly like she had to.
Well, I thought she did a phenomenal job. The best part was the very end where she was rebutting what Lori said and then throwing it to the jury. That was where we finally saw, I think, what a good prosecutor she is. Because otherwise I was critical too. I'm like, she's not engaging, or it felt very monotone. It felt like the same, and it wasn't a pleasant tone either. It was very hard to stay with her. It wasn't that her points were off. She just wasn't a great presenter, I thought, of the facts. And I don't know. I was sitting there in not guilty territory thinking, if they know nothing about the kids, I don't know how you completely show this other than they're speaking in code. And, I was kind of amazed. I never thought I would feel that way, but Lori did a pretty good job arguing her point for not being an attorney. I thought in the closings, she did good. I actually, at the end of that thought, she's got about a 20% chance that I think she could be found not guilty.
Yeah.
I think
I probably shrunk it down. I went,
was it 10? I went to 20.
Arguments, I was 80-20 that they're going to come back not guilty just because the state hadn't proved it up.
Yeah.
By the time closings were done, I had flipped.
Yeah.
I thought, 80-20, maybe 90-10.
Yeah.
I thought that there was still a shot, but I just thought, I thought the state was very, very convincing at the end, and they really tied it up very neatly for the jury and really put it on display, why the circumstantial evidence that did exist could only lead you to one conclusion,
mm-hmm.
And that was a tough prosecution because they could not bring up all of the shit that she's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just like it was tough, man. So and Boudreaux is going to even be a tougher case.
I'm just beginning to dive into where that's going to go. That'll probably be a conversation for next week. But do you think the judge gave her too much of a leash to work with? I mean, there were several times where she very easily could have gotten the kids involved into this. And the judge kind of was the bumper, like, whoa, you sure you want to do this? Are you just let her do it. Let her do it. Like how much of a handholder do you need to be as a judge? Obviously you're trying to prevent this from becoming an appellate issue.
You just answered your own question.
But she chose to be her own attorney. If she's about to put shit in there that's not going to be good for her, why don't you just let her?
It's still going to be ultimately it still is an appellate issue.
Yeah.
Like his primary goal, and it's a lot less, you know, I mean, in terms of being an appellate issue, it's a lot less, you know, powerful in terms of being a really strong issue for the appeals court,
mm-hmm.
in terms of getting this thing back for a retrial, but it's still an issue nonetheless, if she opens the door. You know, because even though he gave her a huge, you know, like all the things you want to hear a judge saying to a defendant prior to allowing them to defend themselves pro se, like, and he went through it all. He's like, you know, your education level, you know, you can read and you can write, you understand the law to a certain extent. And, you know, she answered all of it right. But, you know, so I mean, like, if he's going to err on the side of caution, and he wants this thing to stick, it was the right move.
Yeah.
It was the right move because, you know, I mean, she'll always, like, you can't make a claim of ineffective assistance against yourself. But, you know,
if anyone could, it's her.
Right. The judge is still the gatekeeper of the evidence. And, I think that it would have blown apart the whole trial. It probably would have had to have been, you know, but you can't make the mistake and then ask for the mistrial. That's the thing.
Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, like, so
just,
I don't know,
just let her sink her boat. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, he was the most patient judge in the world. I thought with her but
I mean, she made it pretty easy in the sense that she didn't drone on for hours asking a ton of inane questions. Yeah. I mean, like this thing ended in 7 days. He was thrilled.
Yeah,
but this judge had blocked off 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he might move another trial into the, now that he's got some open spaces, but she just bought this judge like 4 weeks of chilling.
He should go to that beach in Hawaii where she got married and just sit there with a cocktail.
Exactly.
And send a little, a selfie, like love to Lori.
But I'm saying, man, I'm over her. I'm done with her.
I know.
Let her go rot.
What was your reaction at the very end when she was found guilty? And then she just pretty much acted like, I don't care. Just get this over with as fast as you can. When does the court want me back? Like, well, you got to decide. Well, I just went out. Like, she didn't, you know, argue anything. She pretty much just said, do whatever the hell you're going to do to me.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised.
No.
You know, I mean, like, look, if no matter how she was acting at trial, I think that we all have an understanding, if we know anything about her, that she is still convinced the end of days is coming and she's the one. Like, to her, this is all just a bunch of mishigas. It's all like, okay, I'm going to go through the motions. Yeah. I'm certainly not going to make myself look like an idiot, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to try the case, but I don't care what the result is because you know what, suckas? This shit's all coming down. And I know it's coming down. Yeah. And when it does come down, I'm golden. So
I took it as that. I took it as that too. And some people are looking at it. See, it's an admission. Look at she's giving up. Like, no, it's not that. It's not an admission. No, it's not that. She just thinks she's smarter than the rest of the room. 100%. And she doesn't have any care for what happens to us mortals here on the plane because she's the goddess of Rexburg.
Yeah. And look, dude, we'll leave it at this.
Yeah.
We can all take great solace in the fact that she's going to spend the rest of her life in prison and the fact that she makes a really, really shitty green chili chicken enchilada. I love that, man.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now. and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.